Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Welcome everyone to the Storybox. This is the place to be if you're a lover of stories, learning new and interesting things, growing abundantly, and if you want to improve your overall life. My name is Jay Fanzen, and I've made it my purpose to unbox and share the amazing stories from people of every profession all over the world. I'm grateful that you're here today. Let's journey into the story box together and hear more about whose story will be unboxed today. Happy Easter, everyone. Hope you all had a great time and a great break. And you didn't eat too much chocolate, but you also remembered the reason for the season in the first place. And today's episode, my friends, is going to be a great one. And we have a living legend's son on the show. He has the same name as this legend, but he's got Junior at the end. If those of you are into the world of, bodybuilding, as well as, Hulk, then you would recognize the name of Lou Ferrigno Jr. Now, for those of you that don't know who Lou Ferrigno is, you're about to get to know more about his son, Lou Ferrigno Jr., but he is an American actor, comedian, and pop surreal fine artist. He's got some pretty amazing work on his website, which you can go and check out. All the links are in the show notes below. But after beginning his career in entertainment as a fitness model, Lou found his way to roles in commercials, TV, and film. He's best known for his work on How I Met Your Mother. You've probably seen him on that. Teen Wolf, Rush, inspired by Battlefield, and SWAT, the CBS show, which I have actually seen him on as well. But born in Santa Monica, California, Lou participated in multiple sports as a youth, as well as becoming an accomplished high school football player. While pursuing his BA from the Annenberg School for Communication in 2006, Lou walked onto the nation's top football team, becoming a member of the 2007 Rose Bowl champion Trojans. Upon graduation, he began studying improvisational comedy and Upright Citizens Brigade and the West Side Comedy Theater, which was just some of the places that he studied at. Before long, he would work in commercial spots for Comcast, Xfinity, Subway, Carl's Jr., Honda, Oscar Mayer, Miller Lite, Fiat, Home Depot, Dr. Pepper, and the Naval Federal Credit Union, just to name but a few. As a firstborn son of actors Carla and Lou Ferrigno, Lou Ferrigno Jr. spent much of his youth with his parents on TV and film sets all across the globe. Exposure to acting at a young age manifested to become what is now a passion for film and TV for Lou. His first professional job was on the long-time daytime soap Days of Our Lives back in 2012. My goodness, that's going back not too long ago, but still. And he also booked recurring roles in How I Met Your Mother, Teen Wolf, Nikki, Ricky, Dicky, and Dawn, The Young and the Restless, Mutt and Stuff, SWAT, and Stargirl, which you can watch on DC. But I know you guys are going to love Lou's energy. He is really funny, charismatic, and I had a blast actually speaking with Lou. At the very end of our conversation, he asked me what my shirt actually says, and I got to tell him that it was "Do You Even?" And basically tell him that "Do you even leave your mark wherever you go?" So it was a great time together. I hope that you guys do enjoy it, but if you do, please share it around to your friends and your family. Let everyone know, especially if you're fans of Lou Ferrigno. You're going to be now fans of his son, Lou Ferrigno Jr. Please leave a 5-star rating review over on Apple Podcasts. If you can, don't forget to subscribe. And you can watch the full video now available on YouTube. All the links are in the show notes below, but I'm going to be quiet now because it is time to dive into the story box and hear the incredible, inspiring, and funny story of the one, the only, Lou Ferrigno Jr.
How you doing, man? It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you. It was a lovely introduction. I didn't even think of it, but thank you.
I thought I was butchering it there for a moment. I had it all in my head, you know, but then as I was saying it, I was like, oh, that's probably not, he's not going to enjoy this. But no, man, it's great to have you here. Before we begin and dive into, I guess, your backstory, how this all began and everything like that, I have one question that I love asking all my guests at the very start, which is, what does success look like to you?
What does success look like to me? I think there's different levels of success to which I have no clue what it looks like. But I think that success looks like when someone from a foreign land, different continent, has a great show and a podcast and wants to put me on it and actually ask questions about me based on things that they've seen that I've done, yet we have never met, and you from across the world have seen my work, and I'm doing something in which you can actually follow. For now in my life, that to me is pretty successful. Although I have their heights to which I am going to even climb higher, but I mean, we're doing pretty good.
Mate, I'm humbled by you saying that. What was that, sorry?
That guy was you. That's what I was talking about.
Like, I thought you were talking about somebody else there for a second, man. But no, I love it. And I'm humbled really by you actually saying that, because it's always an honor for me to speak to someone like yourself who I've actually watched on the big screen, small screen, you name it, for quite some time. So like it's truly an honor for me. And I see this as being success in many ways. So it's interesting how you twisted it and brought it back to me. You're a smart man, but I'm curious, dude, like talking about the things that you enjoy doing, what specifically do you love and where did that come from?
In terms of acting?
In terms of acting, career-wise, just in your personal life as well.
You know, I they always say don't start a paragraph or a sentence with, you know, but I always wanted to be, I am who I am. And I have this name. And when I was young, my father would say, Louis, I gave you my name. And I didn't know what that meant. And if anything, I was like, yeah, whatever, Dad. But now when I see as an adult, I'm proud of my name. But when going into this business, I knew that I wanted to do this. And when I finally took the leap and decided to become an actor, I didn't want to just be a celebrity kid trying to be an actor. I didn't want to be some famous person's child trying to just get famous in front of a camera. I wanted to prove that this is what I'm doing for the rest of my life. This is, I can affect people the way I saw that my father affected people with his portrayals of the Hulk and other characters. But I also wanted to take what he did and take it to the next level. So I spent years dedicating my life to really just to rounding off my edges in terms of, I'm a bigger guy. So I work on my low status of my comedic timing, my doing dramatic scenes to really open those and really get there dramatically. I push my body to like intense degrees just to get certain levels of flexibility and strength to portray and move a certain way for action films. So it's all a challenge. It's all work. But in work, I mean, it's all stuff that I enjoy and I love. I mean, it's what I know. It's what I've seen. It's what I've done my whole life with my father. And now it's my turn to kind of take the torch and to do things in a different way. You know, I can, my father is a wonderful man, but he's handicapped and he had a handicap my whole life. So, and I didn't realize, I just thought he was my dad and I get aggravated, but he's 85% hard of hearing, has been his whole entire life. And it's not easy when you're a child and you're loud and rambunctious and trying to get things through to someone who doesn't necessarily know how to communicate and be emotionally available. So I think back on my past and the times when I've been really affected and I try to use all the moments in my life to just put on a performance and strive to play characters that affect people and have a way to really connect and bring something out in them. Because I saw my people all over the world go up to my dad and then just tell them and devolve into a puddle of mush in front of me while they would say how the Hulk affected them and how they were so scared. And yet there was so much joy in their face and on their heart. And I was like, that's amazing. That's what I want to do. I want to affect people in a good way. I want to make people see the value of art, performance, and beyond just fame, beyond all that stuff that's man-made, you know, like you can really affect people. I've seen grown men turn to like children when they see my father. And I'm like, big, huge man. Little boy. Be like, oh my God. And I'm like, that's amazing. The power of that. But you know, it happens with anything, good performance, any film, TV. So there's a lot of opportunities to do that. And then I'm going to keep plugging away and do my best to kind of disrupt this pattern of celebrity kids that want handouts and want to be famous and whatnot. Y'all can have it. I'm ready to make good art.
That's amazing, man. Like I'm sure you've probably been asked this question a million times over, but I want to get your take on it, like the perspective of how a lot of people, I guess, would see, I guess you've got Lou Ferrigno's name and it's almost like people might see it as, oh, okay, he's going into the acting field because his father was, and it's a big, I guess, a legacy behind it would be a lot to live up to. Have you ever struggled with that?
Sure. Every day. You know, and there were times in my life when I was less secure in who I am and what I'm doing, that I would kind of be like, oh, well, I'm, you know, we have to say Lou Ferrigno's son or the Hulk's son. Like I have my own identity. And I do. However, you know, and I just lost my train of thought. What were you saying? Say it again. Ask
again.
Have
you ever had, like, it's interesting how you brought out identity. Have you ever had an identity crisis?
Sure, in my like early 20s, but that was a rough weekend. But now I discover who I was. And, you know, now it's just a part of my life. It's who I am. I mean, it's if my parents were both worked at General Motors, I mean, in another state or wherever, I mean, it'd be hard for me to just become someone who's proficient in needlepoint. You know, it's like, this is what I love. This is what I know. This is what I do, but I'm the real deal in the sense where I've dedicated my life to this and I love this. And there's nothing that excites me more than doing this. This podcast, for example, is part of the job. It's part of doing what needs to be done in order to make good things happen. You know, so I try to appreciate all the time that I spend living that life, because I would like to be a beacon of light for someone who thinks so, well, maybe it is possible. You don't just have to have a famous father, because it also has its downsides. It really does. I don't want to get into those necessarily, but life, it doesn't mean just because your dad's famous and a famous actor doesn't mean life's perfect. Life's going to be okay. You know, there's a lot of soul searching. There's a lot of questions you need to ask yourself. And a lot of people don't answer those head on. And they avoid the questions. They avoid the temptation. They pursue temptation. They pursue the easy route. But I'll tell you right now, I mean, at the end of the day, it's the man in the mirror. And you got to be happy with who you are.
Do you ever get sick of it? People coming up to you and asking you these kinds of questions about your father and that?
No, because I don't get sick of it. But I think the phrasing, it's just interesting to see the phrasing. Of, oh, you're Lou Ferrigno's kid. Oh, you're the Hulk's kid. Like, I'm like, what kind of, who talks to a grown adult? Like, you're this person's kid. Like, that's what kind of bugs me sometimes. No, I mean, but I don't, but at the same time, like, I see myself on a different, just have a different cross to bear, you know? So I can't admonish them for not phrasing it the way I'd like it to be phrased. You know, it's all good. But no, I mean, it's part of the gig of being Lou Ferrigno Jr., man. I mean, it's out of respect. If they didn't respect my father, if they didn't like my father, I bet they wouldn't be asking too many questions about me or him. So I take it all I'm very grateful to even just be acknowledged like that.
I appreciate your mindset on this and what you actually are trying to build for yourself and trying to bring awareness on. I think it's quite admirable. And I think there is this, I guess, stigma around Hollywood about being this, I guess, entitled individual because of fame and celebrity. And we look up to all these idols in, we basically make them essentially. And I guess we kind of forget about they're doing a job first and foremost. And secondly, they've got their own struggles, they've got their own passions, their own belief system. We forget the human element. So I guess one of the reasons why I wanted to speak to you, it wasn't for your name, it wasn't for your dad or anything. I was just curious, but more for the fact of what you do and why you do it in the first place. And I had no idea, to be honest with you, that you want to bring awareness into this big issue that is plaguing, I guess, Hollywood and media in general. And what I'm curious about, Lou, is has there been someone in your life, whether a friend or it could be anyone, a close relative, that has sort of challenged you or given you a renewed perspective on life sometime?
A renewed perspective on life? What do you mean by that?
So they've challenged your idea on beliefs, viewpoints, or given you a renewed outlook towards life in some way.
Oh yeah. I mean, my sister is my best friend in the world. She's the one person who's seen everything. She's been there from day one, literally. And she's always quick to give me praise when I need it most. Mm-hmm. And to keep it real when it's time. So, and I can always call her for an honest opinion. I love her to death, where she's my best friend. And, you know, I'm happy to have a relationship with my sibling like that. I have another brother and we're close too, but my sister really has taken, she was an actress first. And I always thought, I always knew I wanted to be an actor. It was always a calling for me, but she was an actress. My dad was an actor. My mom was an actor. So I was like, no, I'll be a football player, be an athlete. So then when I became an actor, I was concerned whether there would be levels of jealousy, because this whole fame thing is wild, man. It's like my father is legitimately internationally recognized and world famous. I mean, I went to Thailand and I wrote a check in 2011-ish. And this was around the time when I was having my identity crisis here. And I gave the check to the person and they go, Ferrigno, like Hulk. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Across the globe. I was like, they even know my name across the globe. And then there was a Hulk figurine standing right there. And I'm like, this is, and that for me was a sign. I'm like, this is way bigger than me. This is way bigger than what this person is doing. Like this is something just large that I need to see more about. But my sister has been the one that I can just go to whenever I'm having a time where it's tough, where it's, I'm not feeling things are happening as I wish they would, or I'm being distracted by, I don't know, people put on can I curse on here? Bullshit. There's a lot of bullshit. There's a lot of horse shit in terms of people like pretending to be your friend. People saying this, oh my God, we love you, we'll call you. And you don't, it's tough. But she always has such a great perspective and I can trust her. You know, family is big and nobody understands this crazy ride that I've experienced so far from even with my father to now besides her. So
I can't imagine what it's like being famous and then trying to figure out who your real friends are. I've always I can't imagine what it must be like for you guys. And I almost feel, I guess, a sense of empathy in a way, because I don't want to not be genuine or authentic at all in everything that I'm doing. I thrive on building connections and relationships with people. I think that's the most meaningful, because if you're fake and you're just seeking to take things from people, that's very shallow and you're never going to be fulfilled or satisfied in life. That's what I've realized. And I think also having good people around you, Lou, like you've got your sister to sort of hold you accountable to that and sort of bring you back down to reality. I think that's also a good thing. I guess shifting the conversation towards your craft, the acting craft as well, What do you think, in your opinion, you've noticed about being creative?
In terms of acting, so I mean, I paint as well. So painting is a way for me to, and that really is a different channel of creativity that allows me to kind of disconnect when I'm waiting to hear back from a certain job or about a role or an audition. So there's a visual creativity to me. And also when I'm portraying and of inventing another person, there's another level of creativity. But what I've realized, and I try to find the thread that connects all creativity, because I think inspiration and all that is all one. It's six to a half dozen. So I think creativity is like, it's like you're in the ocean and little ideas are like fish that just go by. And they're just going by and going by, and things happen. And creativity, just ideas come. And you really have to be active in snatching one of those fish. And when you catch that fish and you realize, oh, this is something, I gotta get on this. You gotta make the move and you gotta go. Otherwise, they'll just go by and it'll be fine. But those ideas may never come again. Sometimes I have really vivid dreams. And in the middle of the night, I wake up and I record them on my voice recorder. Because so many times I've been like, oh, that was great. I'll remember that. And I completely forget, like gone. Mm-hmm. If you catch me at a phone call in between nap, where if I go to sleep and then I wake and I get to take a full call and then I fall back asleep, it's as if it didn't happen. So really pouncing on ideas is important to really extrapolate them into something bigger. Mm-hmm. And especially with people, when I meet people and I'm like, this person is such a character. This is amazing. And I go home and I laugh to myself in the mirror. I'm like, this person's such a character. I have to do something with this. So I make a mental note. Sometimes I write things down and just try to use those little glimmers of creativity and spunk to create something larger and something that I can really connect with people, either whether it's portraying a character or making a piece of art.
You mentioned there, like, for a moment, while you're waiting hear back from a role. And I'm always curious with actors, do you ever get nervous in that process of waiting for a callback?
Oh yeah. I mean, audition, you know, it's like sometimes there's been so many roles where I wait, like this would be the one, like this would be the one to do this. And then my career in this, and then this, and this, and next thing you know, I'm building a castle when I haven't even mixed the cement. You know, so I'm trying to work on getting better at not living the fantasy before it happens. But yeah, I mean, you said nervous. I'm this headband, I think, is too tight. Do I get nervous? I think not really. I mean, the whole Zoom thing has changed in terms of the live performance is why I wanted to do this. Like, I love acting and where you connect with and you watching it, which is essentially, It's an ancient art of being in front and performing for people. So there's times when the stakes are very high that I get nervous and I think things, but you know, after you've done, like, let's say I tested for a series last year, as a series regular, and you're doing something four or five times, it's like, you can't get caught up and I should do it differently the fifth time because you have to do it the same time. So there's a lot more of just like, let go and let God do his thing, I guess, if you want to use that phrase. But there's so many things that are out of my control that if I start to get caught up and start to like think about what I need to do that I can't, I'll go literally batshit insane. So I try, it's more of an effort to just relax and just be someone who's letting it happen and reacting as opposed to getting caught up in my head.
How do you unwind, man? Like, do you work out a lot? Do you go to movies, watch other people's films? What do you do?
I paint a lot. I paint, I'm working on this Batman here.
We're going to get a visual image. Oh, damn. Yeah. That's epic, man.
Thanks, dude. Yeah, it's okay. I mean, so that's like kind of what takes my time. So that's I've been working on that for a few months. That works with my breathing, and I do that to really unwind and just be at peace and be alone with myself and whatnot. Exercise in all forms is important. just you know, self-maintenance, a lot of foam rolling. Foam rolling is will save you thousands of dollars at the chiropractor's office. I don't want to say just like relax and be alone, because you know, my mind is creative of a place it is. It's still, there's dark corners that I don't necessarily want to go to at certain points. So I do disconnect with going meeting with friends. I have a lot of friends that are, I have some friends that are very famous, some friends that I've had since high school, some friends that are just completely real in themselves. And I just go hang out with my real normal friends who they don't care what I just did in terms of, they want me to be happy and they want to talk about dumb shit and just make each other laugh and just be real. They're not obsessed with how they look. They're not obsessed with their brand and all this stuff. And I'm like, for a second, I can kind of jump back to the year, I don't know, the late 90s when I was just like coming up and I didn't have all these things about what mattered as an adult and career and whatnot. And I but it's an effort. I have to pursue normalcy, if that makes sense.
Do you sell your art at all? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I sold prints on ferignoart.com is my website. And then but I've done a lot of commissions. I've done a lot of paintings that I've just sold. People have liked a lot. So you know, I've worked with a few actors who they didn't, like, I didn't even know you're an artist. And then my buddy Kenny Choi from 911 purchased the Hulk piece I did, which is really cool. And then one day I'm gonna organize a way to kind of use my art to, because it's so much bigger than life. Like, you create this piece and it's like months and months and energy and time and perspective, take a step back and going forward. It's way different than digital art. So to sell this piece, this frame, this wood frame with this canvas on it is one thing. But the idea of this art, like, generating a lot of, let's say, money and revenue for a certain cause, I think would be really, 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 really cool. And so I think when, you know, I have a lot of pieces lying around that, and acrylic is different. You know, there's something to the tactile, real medium of painting with the meat with acrylic that's different than just going and looking at a screen. So in the future, I mean, I'm just going to keep painting and see what happens, but I'd like to use my work for good because it just comes out of me and I'd like to just help people somehow.
That's amazing, man. Like, congratulations. Like, you're so versatile. I mean, you're a famous actor and you're also, I guess you can say, a famous painter too.
Oh, wow.
But, it's a real honor to actually be speaking with you today. I wish I could show you, because I feel the same way. I don't paint. I used to draw, and I found drawing very poetic in a way, because it was helping me think about or not think about all the craziness around me. I was just focused on actually creating something, and I got into this mode, and it was beautiful. And I think you can relate to that in some way. Sure. But my favorite piece of art, I actually have it in my bedroom. I can't show you, sadly, but it's the picture, you know, the poster of Logan, the movie?
Wolverine,
yeah. How he's got his hand and he's holding the girl's hand, Daphne, that film. So he's got his like old hand, it's battered and bruised. I just love the illustration of that, how you got the old versus the young. And I drew it, I traced it, but I wish I could show you it. It's cool.
Nice.
But
yeah,
this isn't about me. A couple more questions for you, dude, if you don't mind. So what has been, I guess, the most fun role or character that you've portrayed on screen that you're most proud of?
I fun for me comes in so many different forms. I did a film, like the most fun, like zany, wacky one was, I was always thought to myself I'd be a superhero. And I always knew. And so I booked a role, which was a great story. And it was, and I won't tell it now, but it was like on the spot booking for this character. They're doing this show called Mutt and Stuff with Cesar Millan, the dog trainer, international dog empire trainer.
Wow.
And it's basically his son Calvin has this place for dogs called Mutt and Stuff. And then there was this role for Super Sammy, which was a superhero. And he was just one of these larger than life, big, oh, great. And I went out there and I thought to myself, and I was like, ah, this is kind of dumb. This is kind of cheesy, but like, whatever. And then I thought to myself, stop right now. Who are you? Who do you think you are? Someone's going to book this job. Someone's going to get hired to do this job, and I can do it. So do it. So commit and do it. And then I was like, okay. And I took it seriously. I put on literally spandex outfit. The first casting session, she turned off the camera. She's like, that was crazy. She's like, please do that again. So, and it was just like a lot of this and all this. It was really fun to play because it was essentially me in a spandex suit. They didn't know what they were in for. So you had Barty Croft, legendary TV producer, who did Puff the Magic, he did all these. And they're sitting in this small room, and they're used to like either actors or like older actors coming in. But then like there's like me who actually has like muscles. They had a muscle suit ready for the character, and they're like, we don't even. And the one thing is, I just read it. They're like, we don't even have to use the muscle suit. So they were like ready for this like guy to pretend to be this superhero, and you can find it on YouTube. It's Super Sammy. But it was so much fun because I was happy with the fact that I do come off with this presence physically and I do have this physique, but I love to be goofy. I love to be fun. I love to just to round out those aspects of my personality rather than, you know, just playing, I got your six, and then running around and being the badass guy. And that was a challenge for me because a lot of people really enjoyed it. And it's got over like a couple million views on YouTube, which is cool because it's such funny to see someone like that looks the way I do act like a complete like bozo slash child, whatever. But that was a lot of fun. I mean, I've had so much fun on just about anything I've done, but that, and it was fun because I saw it as real progress. I saw it as progress in my career and my craft because I can say the lines and emote. But this was a challenge to just let it all out. And as this character, I was able to convey thoughts and emotions that I had that were just kind of ridiculous, but I didn't think they were. And according to the character, they're not ridiculous. Because this character has a lot of pups to save, and he has to, and you know, and it's, and that will be like, I created this Super Sammy character and people responded really well for it. Like, it was a fraction of the way people responded to my father, but it was just on set. It wasn't around the world, but it was like, I really liked the feeling that I made people feel good or made people laugh or made people just like lighten their day a little bit. And during these times, I mean, it matters more to really connect with people. So yeah. That was a lot.
Man, absolutely nothing wrong with being goofy, being who you are, being fun, energetic, lively. I think that needs to be pushed out more than all the negative that we're seeing in the world. I'm a huge dog lover. I've got a German Shepherd. We're only a German Shepherd family, so I completely understand. And I'm going to go and watch it after we're finished. Just so I can laugh and feel that joy coming through.
Yeah. You'll see it.
I can't wait, man. Two final questions for you, if you don't mind.
This is great.
I'm loving this, man. I wish I could speak to you for longer, but what has been the worst piece of advice you've ever received?
Oh, good question. The worst piece of advice. God, I've received a lot of bad advice, let me tell you. But I think... Oh man, that's a great question. And I try to block out the bad advice, and I honestly I don't see myself as crazy. I know I can be crazy to the normal person, whatever that is. So I try to do as much as I can to just like it's impossible. Well, that's for you. This can't be done. You can worry about that. I'm going to go on my own way, but, the worst piece of advice is have a backup plan. I remember my dentist was like, he's like, oh, you're going to be an actor. Cause he knew me when I was growing up. And he's like, so what's your backup plan? And I'm like, I don't know. And I wanted to say be a dentist, because I was, I didn't think about having a backup plan, and I didn't want to have a backup plan because I knew that I was going to be an actor and I was going to work and be successful, yet I hadn't. But he was just from a world of being, you know, medical, being school, all this stuff. And that is so not me. And so when he said, yeah, you should really have a backup plan. And I said, and I just nodded because I'm nice. But then I thought to myself, I wanted, and he ever, you know what, nowadays he comes to me and he's like, oh, sorry on SWAT. He goes, you're taller than all those guys. What's a, well, how tall are all those guys? I'm like, huh, isn't that funny, doctor? Because about 10 years ago, you were saying I should probably choose something else. But yeah, I think if you have a backup plan, there's a good chance that you can't leave anything to even fester at all in your brain. If you want to be doing something like what I do, where you must leap and then that will appear. Because if you're not all in and you're not with it, I mean, it's too hard, man. It's too hard. It's too painful to not, whenever it gets tough and I'm so like just had enough, I'm like, I look at myself in the mirror and I say, you got nothing else, dude. You got nothing. You could sit in a corner and paint all your life, but you, this is all you're doing. And right then I think to myself, okay, I feel better right away. Cause I'm not, I got no backup plan, man. That's it. So don't have a backup plan.
That's great, man. Great advice for me and for everyone that is listening or watching right now. My final question for you, real quick. This is my all-time favorite question. It's a hypothetical one. So I want you to imagine with me for a moment that you've been able to reach the age of 100. All your friends and family have decided to put together a highlight film or a film, whichever one you want, of everything you've ever said and everything you've ever done. Then ask me how in the world they got it, or we'll call it magic. They've been able to get it and show it to you on your 100th birthday. What do you want that film to say and to show about your life?
Okay. After this podcast, I would say that I don't even know, man. I mean, there's so many things that I haven't even done yet that I am excited to do. And I'm going to be there when it's time to, like, I'm still in the room, man. I'm not leaving. So this, I'm going to be available for certain things in the future that I haven't even seen. I think partially one of the Super Sammy things will go in with it. I like the range in which I know I can play, mixed with just being a good person and giving and doing the philanthropic things of giving back and volunteering and helping. And I try to do so much and helping people feel and realize their own dreams. You know, I really feel thinking less about myself more and more. You know, this is more about using what I can to affect people and help the world become a better place. And as cheesy as it sounds, I mean, it's so true. There's in giving is what you truly receive. So, I mean, God, I think of all the jobs I've done, maybe like 3 or 4 will be on that reel in that movie. But I'm saying, dude, there's going to be, I have big, big aspirations and dreams and things that are happening that will come my way with a good reputation, with doing good work and being authentic. So I'm excited. I'm optimistic, a little crazy, but I'm hopeful and I'm happy. So
I love it, man. Lou Ferrigno Jr., thank you so much, man, for your time, your energy, your enthusiasm, your wacky attitude as well. I love it all. Thank you so much for sharing your story a little bit on the Storybox podcast today.
Thank you, Jay. And do you even lift, or is that just a shirt? Like, do you even leg day, bro?
Come on, man. Of course. I wouldn't be wearing it if I wasn't. But it's also, do you even leave your mark as well? Like, that is another powerful message that I love sending. And I love, yeah, just do you even.
Pleasure, Jay. Really, really thank you. And you're great. It's a great thing you got going on. So I appreciate you having me on here.
I really don't like this part because it means that sadly we have come to an end of yet another story. I just want to say thank you to all of you for tuning in and listening to our guest today. It is my prayer that you would have felt inspired, motivated, challenged in some way, and that you would have learned something new as well. If you would like to hear more amazing stories like this one, you can do so now by searching up the Storybox on all podcast platforms. It is that easy. And if you did get something from today's guest, please do share it around with your friend or family member who you feel could benefit from hearing today's story. And before you go, I greatly appreciate it if you could spend 30 seconds leaving a rating review over on Apple Podcasts. It goes a long way to reaching more people and building this community of the Storybox. Let's start changing lives through powerful stories like this one you heard today. Your support is always greatly appreciated. Until next time, when we dive back into the Storybox, I'm Jay Phantom. And don't forget, your story is worth more than you know. I'll catch you then.